Ron Rochelle joins us. Shogger, how are you?
I'm enjoying that text. I've got a number of people I'm going to send that to.
Seriously, that's my favorite. Oh, that's one of the best ones I've heard.
You can just see the pigeon too, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's exactly what makes it so funny. I know.
Yeah, that just happened. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, hey, I told you guys, hey. Oh, we could have a lot of fun with that. Hey, well, let's play Keenan and Keaton 25 minutes tonight because he's a top four defenseman.
That was a bit of a head-scratching situation, wasn't it?
Oh, man. Like, the thing is, you can't make players what they're not, right?
Yeah, totally. And you can't turn them into something by giving them money. You can't pay a guy like a number three defenseman and close your eyes and just hope that he turns into it. You can't. I mean, and that's kind of what the Oilers have done here a little bit, right? They gave Nikitin 2 years at way too much money, and they're just kind of closing their eyes or squinting and hoping that they see a top four defenseman. And he's not, and he hasn't been the entire time he's been here. So it's a big problem. I mean, I like the think back when they brought Nikitin in? Do you remember why they did that? Remember, the idea was they needed a guy who had some experience in the league who could play in a role and provide some depth and not force them to rush Klefbom or Marincin onto the team right away. Remember, it was like that stopgap. It's what they didn't do at center that they did on the back end. And that was good. It was good sound logic, man. It made total sense. And then they gave him $9 million. And it was like, what? I mean, they had to have been able to find somebody else in free agency for 2.2 that could do similar things to what Nikitin can do. So the idea of why they brought him in, if we think back, was sound logic. The contract didn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I don't blame Nikitin for the contract at all.
Oh, but man. But high five his agent,
yeah,
man.
For sure.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. The question is, when you see a decision like that, and there are some that would argue that at that point they made the decision that, okay, we're going to go with Nikitin at $4.5 million for 2 years, but Jeff Petrie's got to prove to us that he can be better. And if I look at the track record of Petrie, who clearly, yeah, he wasn't, you know, he'd been decent, but his track record to that point was just as proven as what Nikitin had ever proven in Columbus. I think that's safe to say, right? So there, that's why, to me, when you look at the evaluation, the concern is, are they evaluating the right players properly? That's going to be the question.
Yeah, and that's totally fair. And I think we all understand and know where Nikitin coming over came from, right? I think we all know that Scott Housen had a long history with this player, and that probably had a lot to do with both the acquisition and the subsequent signing. And so it's a miss. It's a miss, and it's a bad miss. And the contract looks bad, but I mean, I don't think they're going to buy him out. A lot of people are talking about buyouts and such with him. I don't think that'll happen unless there's some significant trades that are made that for some reason, all of a sudden they don't have room on the blue line for him. I mean, the Oilers aren't going to be in money trouble. They'll have room to overpay Nikitin for a year without having to buy him out. I think they'll just probably keep him on the roster. But the question is where are they going to play him? And are they going to keep trying to force him into a second pairing role? You know, because if that's what the general manager sees him as, and that's what they signed him as, and that's what they want him to be, well, the coach kind of feels the pressure to give him that opportunity, right? But they can't do that. They have to let the coaches just play him where he deserves to be played, which is either in the press box or on a third pairing, and not get, like, when he comes into camp out of shape.
You gotta
treat that for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Other guys do that, man, and it's like probably a. A lot of times it's a public tongue lashing and a bunch of healthy scratches and a shaming, and that's sort of what they go through to that's the price you got to pay for doing that. But he never went through any of that. None of it. He got shoveled a bunch of minutes onto him. He wasn't even healthy for the start of camp. Like, it was no good right from the word go.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I do hold Nikita 100% responsible for.
Oh, sure,
is that's the one thing the player can, that's the one thing they can control. Is you can control how hard you work in the offseason, considered you're healthy, right? David Perron had an excuse, had the hip injury, had the hip surgery in August. Obviously, he's not going to come into camp 100%, and that's understandable. There's no problem with that. But if you're healthy and you don't put in the dedication required to be in NHL caliber shape, that to me is such a red flag. And that to me show, and when, and then the organization accepts it, it says the complete wrong message. There's no accountability.
Yeah, for sure. And free agent signing or not, it's almost like they're, you know, it's almost like they feel like he did them some big favor by signing with them and foregoing unrestricted free agency. Well, I mean, they overpaid him, right? They paid him too much money. They paid him more than anybody else probably would have paid him. And so, of course, he's going to take that deal. They didn't owe him anything. So to come into camp out of shape and not ready to go, for it to be as bad as it's been. I mean, last night was just, and look, he's just back, right? So it takes guys a few games to get back into it. But this is the, this has been his MO his entire time as an Oiler, and that's why he's not getting the courtesy three or four games to get back into it. That's why he's being dumped on the way he is, because this is kind of the way it's gone. I mean, how many nights this year have we said, man, Akeem was really good? I mean, two, three, four maybe? Like, has he had four good games this year? Or has he been noticeably suspect in 85-90% of his games? And that's not okay. And so that's the thing, right? When Craig McTavish stands there and says to us he's a top four defenseman, I mean, it's totally fair game for it to be open season on that comment and to question where his head's at and what he's thinking.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. And, you know, you go back to last night, I don't expect him to beat the Winnipeg Jets whatsoever. Yeah. You know, you look at this roster, and the question now is, Ryan, how do you think they can even become close to competitive next year when you look at the roster today? To where they get, like, realistically, I know everybody says, oh, you got to get a top four defenseman. Well, that's way harder than just saying it, right?
And yeah, never mind top four defenseman. They need a top two defenseman.
Yeah, which I think is virtually almost impossible.
Which is even harder. Well, I mean, teams do it. Like, it does happen. It's not like it's never happened before. They just need to find a way to make it happen. I mean, it's just plain and simple. So whatever the combination of assets it is, for them to continue floundering around with the decor they have and not shore themselves up back there, it's preventative. It's stopping them from taking a step forward. And it's obvious, and it's been this way for a number of seasons now. So teams do go get good defensemen. You got to figure out what that deal is. You got to figure out how to get that guy. And the Oilers do have lots of organizational assets. They do. Yakupov's going to finish the year strong. He'll be movable. Jordan Eberle's finished the year fantastic. He'll be movable. Leon Draisaitl, if they end up drafting a young center, then Draisaitl is movable. I mean, even that top four or five pick will be movable in the right, under the right circumstances. And they absolutely, if it's not one of the top two picks, they absolutely should entertain the idea of moving it. For sure they should. So there is opportunity, but it takes creativity, takes being ahead of the curve, understanding the position that every single general manager is in and how to exploit it. And really, it's being ahead of the curve. And so far, we haven't seen ahead of the curve type moves, maybe outside of them squeezing Perron out of St. Louis.
The Winnipeg Jets, you saw their team last night without Brian Little and without Dustin Byfuglien.
Yeah, or Perreault, too.
Yeah, they look like a pretty good team.
Man, they're a really good team, and they can skate. They're not slow. They're not a big, slow team. Like, they can skate. I mean, Blake Wheeler can fly. They got big guys that can skate. Their forecheck is unreal. They've got skill. Like, Mark Scheifele's turned into a real nice player. And remember the patience they had to have with him after drafting him so high. Took some time for him. They took a chance on Tyler Myers. It's turned up aces for him. They've solidified with a few veteran guys throughout their lineup, whether it's Talusti or Stempniak, some guys that have been around the league for a little while. It's a great mixture, and that is a tough team to face in the first round. They're built. I mean, they're built to hang in there with, you know, the Bruins or the Kings or the some of these other bigger teams that are difficult to play. They're built to hang in with those guys for sure. And so you watch last night and you realize how much you need to have a mix of speed and skill, but also size. You have to have that mix of size, and the Oilers don't have that, and they need it And that's why they got to make some pretty fundamental changes with some of their core players.
Well, yeah, that's the leading question, Ryan. The one thing that will have to change is the makeup. Well, on the blue line, I know that for sure, but the makeup of their top of nine forwards, like, it drastically has to change.
Yeah. So Pouliot's fine size wise. They've got Drysdale coming. He's all right. You know, he's never going to be a really physical player, but he'll be a bigger body that can lean on people. All right, Taylor Hall is fine. Nugent Hopkins, well, he's pretty slight, but he's still growing. He's still sort of getting his man strength. Eberle is small. Yakupov is small. Derek Roy is small. You know, you kind of run down the list, and Edlander is small. You know, Boyd Gordon's not a big player. Like, they don't have enough heavier guys. And the guys that they do, I mean, like, Teddy Purcell's not a small guy, but he doesn't hit anybody. So, yeah, they need to mix in some bigger skill. And we've been saying it for a couple of years now. But if you look at the teams that have success and are built to win, they've got bigger guys that are more durable, heavier, and more equipped for playoff hockey. They're not these water bugs that just zip around out there. And that's why just everybody thinks it's a foregone conclusion they're going to sign Derek Roy. I don't think it is. I think they need to be careful about adding another 5'9" player into their top six. Like, they can't afford to just do that because he's had some success with Yakupov. Okay, great. You're infinitely more easy to play against by employing those two guys on a line together for another full season. Got to find some other options, some different sizes and shapes.
100%. Yeah, they've got to move it, make some moves for sure on that front. The Boston Bruins, the Ottawa Senators are on absolute fire. Meanwhile, the Bruins today, Dougie Hamilton out indefinitely.
That's crushing, but yeah. I mean, that is beyond crushing. He is everything to them with Chara taking such a big step back, hey?
Yeah, I think that pretty much puts a nail in their coffin, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's tough. That's tough to come back from. I mean, I think he plays a pile of minutes. He's getting lots of offense. And correct me if I'm wrong, but they got to find a way to sign him too in the offseason, don't they?
Oh yeah, I don't see that being a major issue for them. I think they realize that after having Zdeno Chara since they signed him, I think Peter Chiarelli fully understands the importance of having, you know, that defenseman on your back end. You know, Dougie Hamilton's 21 years of age. You know, I could easily see them signing him to a 7 or 8 year deal if they want him. I don't think he's going anywhere, right? Like, they.
Yeah, how are they for cap space though? Like, are they?
Well, they're up against it a little bit, but, like, you know,
yeah,
they've got guys like Gregory Campbell, Soderberg needs another contract, but, you know, Dougie Hamilton, they'll find ways, I think, to get him his money. Torrey Krug, they gave him 3.4, granted, only on one season. I think they've known now for 2 years that Dougie Hamilton was up. Right, I think that I don't see them being in that much of a cap crunch.
Adam McQuaid going to get? I mean, that's a big, physical, tough defenseman that people will look at. And
sure, but I think they would look and say, you know what, we will let Adam McQuaid walk because someone's going to want to overpay him.
Yeah.
Whereas we will just pay Dougie Hamilton because we know that you know, he's still only 21 and is going to get better.
Well, and he's prime offer sheet material too, right?
Yeah,
he's that guy. He's that top pairing defenseman you go get.
But the team
that is coming into his prime, and you throw a pile of money on the table. Boston will have no choice but to match it. But boy, you put them in a really bad spot cap wise, and you wonder what else might spring loose from them. They don't have a ton of space. They're kind of up against it a little bit. And Hamilton, I mean, he's going to make a pile of money, and he goes from a 1.4 on the cap right now, to. I mean, what's that number going to look like if they try and do him in a 6-7 year deal? It's going to be a big, big number. So it's not.
You think he gets more than $6 million?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to remember where unrestricted, because it just depends on how many years of unrestricted free agency they end up buying off of.
Well,
they'll be expensive.
They would buy two, right? If they sign him to a 6 year deal, so it's not that big of an issue, I don't think.
It's going to be a lot. No question, it's going to be a lot. And you think about players around the league that would be worth what the return would have to be on the compensation, and Hamilton might be one of those guys. So yeah.
They're concerned.
We'll wait and see.
Their concern, honestly, under their cap, is that Zdeno Chara in 2 years is he's 6.9 cap hit, and he's dropped off this year. Maybe it's injuries. We'll see. But I'm telling you, man, the last 2 years of that contract, that's going to be tough for them to swallow.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's why these organizations, you almost need to make a decision. Like even Patrice Bergeron, man. Patrice Bergeron, like, he's got 3 more years after this at 7.5, right? He's only, 28, 29 years old right now? Still, like, he's not the fleetest of foot. He's a valuable player, but David Krejci, Krejci, they gave a big, long deal to as well. Lucic is going to be unrestricted. Like, they've got, after next year, they've got some decisions to make, and it's almost like you look long-term and realize you might have to turn over some really core players and go a little bit younger and kind of rebuild a little bit on the fly, right? And that's probably going to be what they have to do here.
Yeah, they're a very interesting team. And if they allow Chiarelli to stay, because, there's been so many rumors, me, it would be foolish that suddenly, this is a guy you get rid of after what he's done with that organization. To me, that would be way too much of a knee-jerk reaction. I think he's proven he knows how to build a pretty good franchise since he took over.
Yeah, and they got some good pieces, too. Like, that David Pastrnak's going to be a good player. He's a really good young player.
Yeah, Spooner's coming along.
A really good young goalie in Malcolm Subban that will probably develop and be worth something at some point. They're set at net, which helps them. Dougie Hamilton's going to be a top pairing. Like, they've got some really good pieces. They just got to figure out how to change gears on the fly a little bit.
Very tough to do. Shauger? Have fun. Don't let a pigeon poop on you. So we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I will. Hey, by the way, really quick, you were talking about Joey LaLeggia the other day, about the potential that he goes, what he's going to do, the Oilers draft pick, the defenseman there.
Yeah.
And I did a little bit of digging around, and it sounds like there's a very good chance they'll get him signed when the season ends. So I think he's probably a guy they're going to lock up.
Yeah, he was on our station saying how he wants to sign with Edmonton. And why wouldn't he? When you look at the organization, they don't have any real offensive defenseman in the organization, so it makes sense.
Yeah, but it looks like they'll be able to get that done.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Shauger.
Okay, pal. Take care.